I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi guys, you're very welcome to episode 29 of the T's and C's Applied Podcast. My name is Chelsea.
And my name is Tygan. This episode is for all you thrill seekers, you weekend warriors, you tenacious bunch of absolute heroes, or at least you used to be back when you were a teenager. That's right. In this episode, we are talking about all the things we used to get up to as teenagers, all the teenage kicks, and basically everything that we did in our youth. But we've calmed down significantly since, particularly if you are watching the YouTube, you'll see our lovely surroundings. We are sitting with a cup of tea in front of a roaring fire.
Rip roaring fire.
So we're not as wild as we used to be as in our youth, but...
Sorry, I was taking a drink of my tea there. Sorry.
She was... apologize. I feel like we're doing fireside chats now. That's what we're doing.
Oh, do you know what? You can't be... I know it's the summertime. All right? For everyone out there, it's summertime. You can't have a fire. Of course you can.
We're doing it for the aesthetics. That's what
it's
we're doing.
It's all for the aesthetics. But also, I'm a cold person. So it doesn't matter how warm it is during the summer, I'm always cold. Right now, I am freezing. I literally... Like, I have my slippers on. You can't see it. I'm actually going to show you. For the YouTube people, I'm going to show you my slippers. There's my slippers right there. It was the first thing I did when I came home was put on my slippers because it's just comfort. You know what I mean? And then we lit a fire and I've got a nice hot cup of tea. I'm happy out. Happy out.
Yeah, but this episode was inspired by a recent discovery by the HRB that said that Irish teenagers use the second highest amount of cocaine in all of Europe. I was blown away. Irish teenagers. So we kind of got us thinking, like, back in the day, I remember nobody my age when I was a teenager using drugs.
It kind of
made me think, God, how much have things changed over the last decade? It's not that long ago since we were teenagers.
No.
Maybe it was a bit longer than I'm making out to be, but...
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Still only 21 plus fat. That's all I am. But, yeah, God, it's blown my mind, and like it is 100% fact. Like,
blows your mind, but it's sad to hear that the fact that like that's what teenagers are doing nowadays, are like, you know, considering like when we were kids, it was a lot more being outside and play. Like, I know, whatever.
They're still outside. They're just doing drugs.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right? I worded that wrong, but like, okay, maybe not in my teens. We wouldn't have been, but like when I was a teenager, for instance, all I did, me and my friends, we used to always do is like we'd go into town, you know, we'd probably go to McDonald's and get milkshakes and sit around chatting in the park, but like nothing bad. Like we wouldn't go. I personally, anyway, the group of friends I had anyway, we wouldn't be like drinking alcohol and all that sort of crack on the streets that you'd see now. Like so many times, I'm driving through, like say where I used to live. like I'd see teenagers in town, in the town park, drinking alcohol and probably doing drugs. I've never seen it happen. But like, I remember when I was in Dublin, and Jess will tell you.
I remember this.
I'll never forget this. This will show you how innocent I am. This will genuinely show you how innocent I am, because I was genuinely flabbergasted. I actually couldn't believe what I saw. But we just went for a walk. We said we go to the park, go for a nice walk. It was a nice day outside. We went for a walk in the park. This was in Dublin, right? We were walking through the park, and myself and Jess, we were just chit-chatting. And then ahead, I seen lads exchange hands. Right, y'all know what I mean when I say that. I was shocked to my core. I literally turned to Jess and I was like, did that actually just happen? And she was like, oh yeah, that's normal. I was like, that's not normal. For me anyway, that was not normal for me to see that.
What's normal to the spider is chaos to the fly.
I was shook to my core. I actually got such an awkward and uncomfortable feeling seeing it happen that I actually walked up on the grass to avoid them. Purely because I've seen them exchange hands and I know exactly what they were exchanging. I actually got that uncomfortable seeing it happen that I actually walked a good distance around them just to avoid it. Like, and she just walked straight past it as if she said, like, it was a normal thing. I was like, girl, that's not normal. You know, I was living in the countryside, like.
Oh, you're pure country bunkin.
Oh, that's massive.
Compared to the city crew. Oh, they're streaks ahead.
Oh, God.
Well, it's really interesting that, like, we talk about, you mentioned about going out and being around and, like, even the little bit of underage drinking or not really being part of that crowd. I'll admit, I didn't personally drink until I was 22, but I did hang out with people who've been drinking probably since about 14, 15. And like, I won't say it was managed, but it was more manageable, I would say, than what like the kids are doing now with drugs.
Yeah.
I have a really weird stat about this. So as it turns out, the average teen in Ireland at the moment starts drinking at 16.6 years of age. That was in 2019. Previous to that, it was actually younger.
I was just going to say that. I feel like it would have been younger back then.
Yeah. So back in 2002, the average age for teenagers to start drinking was actually 15 and a half. So kids nowadays are waiting till later on to start drinking, but starting to use drugs earlier.
Jesus.
Mental. That's completely backwards.
Do you know what it is? It's just, it's all like the gangs that people hang around with and stuff like that. And there's, unfortunately, there's kids out there that are getting roped into this kind of lifestyle, like without even realizing that they're in it, or if that makes any sense. So they get involved with like drug dealing and stuff like that. And then the next thing you know, they're taking the drugs.
Yeah, well, like, I think we don't even need to go as far as drug dealing. I think that it's just become so, I won't say acceptable, but like amongst our peers, they know more and more people doing it. So they feel like, well, if they're doing it, I'll be able to get away with doing it. It's like vaping, in my opinion. Like, loads of people have just started vaping and now it's just become the done thing.
It's just the thing across the board. Yeah.
And they're like, well, at least I'm not smoking like cigarettes. And you're like, yeah, but you are vaping. Like, it's still not as good for you.
Yeah.
You know? Another weird one as well that they uncovered with this research was that the amount of people in their teens who don't drink across the board has massively increased. So it's gone from 11% back in 2002, didn't drink, to now over a quarter of all teenagers at the age of 16 don't drink. So 25-26% is what they're saying in 2019. That was when the last research was done.
Which is fantastic to hear.
1 in 4. I'm actually, that's a lot higher than I expected.
Really?
Yeah, I genuinely thought that would be less. That I thought, like, I thought more kids dropped. Would be drinking now than back in the day. But no. But the drugs has massively risen.
But if you think about it, though, like even back to, like, say, your parents, like the age was way lower than that.
What, when they were drinking?
Drinking. I'm not talking about your parents in general. I'm talking about, like,
my mother's a saint. She still hasn't drank.
That generation, like, they probably would have started drinking a lot younger than the age of 15.
Did you hear the Pioneer Group? Did you have the Pioneers up in Tullamore?
A Pioneer Group?
Yeah, so Pioneers are...
I know what a Pioneer is. My granddad was a Pioneer now, but I don't know. I've never heard of a Pioneer Group.
Well, like, it's an organisation, as in, like, it's all of the Pioneers together. So for any of you out there, particularly who don't live in Ireland, Pioneers in Ireland are people who don't drink or do drugs, and they have a little organisation. And this was a very handy one. So I didn't drink till I was 22. I was part of the Pioneer Group growing up, not for any religious reasons. I just knew that they got a discount on car insurance.
Oh my
and I
God.
Was like, I'm getting that car insurance discount.
Wow.
It was brilliant. I loved it. I loved not drinking as a teenager. I worked in a bar, which was great. So I worked in a nightclub in my town, and all my friends used to come in drinking underage, allegedly. But like I was working behind the bar, so I got to serve all my friends. They'd end up hammered, drunk, grand, whatever, and then I drove them home. And it was grand. I got to hang out with my friends loads. Mm. And like they were delighted because they're like, oh, we'll go into the hub, Tig will look after us, and then we'll get home. And like all the parents loved me because they were like, well, we know if Tig's working, we'll end up seeing them coming home at some stage of the night. So that's grand.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. And then the following day I get up and play a rugby match. Happy days.
Yeah.
Do you know that for me was great. I'd have my social side, I'd get paid to do it, and then I'd get play my sport the next day without any hangovers. It's dreamy.
Yeah, I wouldn't even like even now I'm not a big drinker, but like I wouldn't have been a big drinker in my teenage years either. But when I worked in the hospitality industry and stuff like that, I would have drank a little bit more, purely because of the fact like anytime like we had nights out or anything like that, it was kind of like you'd get like staff discounts and all that sort of crack. So like obviously there were shots flowing and all that sort of crack. But I think because of the fact that when I used to work in the hospitality trade, because I started working there when I was 18. So if not actually maybe like 17, I would have been just doing waitressing. Like
yeah.
Just not alcoholic, but I would have been just doing waitressing. And then when I turned 18, then I would have been doing like actual bar work and stuff. But I think the fact that I would have drank a lot more in my late teens, early 20s, now it's genuinely just turned me off drinking more. So like when I go out, I could have 3-4 drinks and I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Because I sip. It'll take me like an hour to drink one drink. I just
You're
sip.
A slow drinker, right, to be fair.
I'm a very, very slow drinker because I'm like, I'm not pushed. I don't need to be like hammered drunk or anything like that to like enjoy myself. I can be fully sober. I can go out and drink water for the night and be fine. Like I can still have the exact same amount of crack without drinking. I don't need the alcohol. I enjoy having a few social drinks. I love going out and like some, especially during the summer, like you go to a beer garden.
The best.
You know, you're just having a few, you know, quiet drinks with like a group of friends or your significant other or something like that and just chilling. But like if I'm out, like you've seen it yourself last weekend, like when we were out, I had what, 2-3 gins?
2 or 3, yeah, that was about it.
And that was it because my main goal was to be out on the dance floor.
Until the shots at the end of the night.
But that was unplanned. That was unplanned.
No one ever plans shots. Someone just suggests it and you're like, ah, go on, why not?
I made up for the drink that I didn't drink at the very, very end of the night. Literally before we came
just
home,
before
there
the
was
takeaway.
Like 4 or 5 shots. It was just like shot, shot, shot. And I was like, wow, okay. I think I was half cut walking.
Welcome
out
to Bandon.
Yeah. Purely from drinking the shots.
That's like what they call a Bandon finish. Shots, everybody! Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of teenagers now you can probably tell me if I'm wrong here, but like I feel like a lot of teenagers now are a lot more about, you know, getting their education and you know, getting themselves to college. A lot more now than there would have been a couple of years ago.
No, I would disagree with that.
Of course, you're going to disagree. He disagrees with everything I say. Like,
well, this would be such a boring podcast if I agreed with everything you said, and if you agree,
you
with
never
everything
agree
I said.
With anything I say. What are you on about? You don't agree with anything I say.
They're not here for us to agree on everything. They want us to disagree. They want that juicy gossip.
You'd agree to disagree, but yeah, that's my opinion. I feel like, well, a lot of teenagers that I'd know, like, are very much like, you know, not big into going out anymore, not big into nightclubs and stuff like that. It's kind of like, nah, I'm cool.
Well, you see, now I would say that the reason they're not into nightclubs as much is because there's simply not as many nightclubs around. And they are definitely still in, like, they love going out. But I think bushing has become a big thing again for them.
Huh?
Bushing.
What the hell is bushing?
So bushing is when, maybe this is a Cork phrase, but everyone's done it. It's like going drinking in a field or going, you know, just...
Cans in a field.
Cans in a field.
Cans
bushing.
In a field.
We'd call it bushing in Cork.
I've never heard of that. I've heard of cans in a field.
You've got to go
bushing
through the bushes to get to the field. You go bushing.
I've never heard of bushing.
Do you know what I mean? Go with a few sneaky naggins. That's what teenagers used to do back in the day. And I would think that culture definitely
teenagers
still there.
Do that now.
Yeah, that's what
like
I mean.
But
like that culture.
Stuff, they like like girls tie naggins around their legs.
Oh, there's so many sneaky ways of getting drinks into places. Yeah. Like, but that's, I think that culture has definitely increased. And I think the reason why you probably don't see it as much in terms of like nightclubs and pubs is because it's too expensive to drink there. So teenagers are forced to have to like find sneakier ways of drinking their alcohol at
or just do a
price.
Lot of pre-drinking.
Pre-drinking, house parties. It's massive.
Go out and then come home and probably continue to drink.
Yeah. You spend nothing while you're out except maybe in your takeaway and the entry into the nightclub or whatever you're going to. But I would say, and it'd be interesting to see what your opinion is on this. Would you agree or disagree that teenage girls don't handle their drink as well as teenage lads?
Yes.
What's your take on it? Why? I have a reason behind mine.
I feel like, now I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe like, I don't know. Maybe they mix their drink a lot more.
I think there's an element of that. This is my theory anyway on why teenage lads tend to learn to pace themselves better. Teenage lads will start off on beer. They'll start off on beer or cider or something where it's low percentage, high volume. So it's like 4% beer, but it's a decent quantity in it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So as they progressively get a little bit drunker, they realize what stage they're at. I think teenage girls, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this was always what I noticed when I was growing up as a teenager. Teenage girls go straight to spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Vodka, whatever it is, or, you know, you
wine
might have,
is a big one.
Oh, geez. And they would be gone like that.
Yeah.
Because they're tiny human beings. And then they're a wreck.
Yeah.
That was always what I noticed anyway. Like teenage lads always managed it better because it took them longer to get drunk.
Yeah.
Teenage girls were, and they would never eat beforehand.
No.
I know.
And I actually, I'll hold my hands up and say, I'm a devil for that. Like, sometimes when I go out, it's like I actually genuinely.
You're like, eating is cheating.
No, it's not even that. I genuinely feel like sometimes when I'm going out, I forget to eat. I know that sounds really ridiculous, but like sometimes I genuinely, like, by the time I go out, I'm either not in the mood to eat or I'm not in the mood to drink because I'm like, I've no energy.
Because you haven't ate.
Because I haven't eaten. Or then when I do drink and I get a little bit tipsy, all that sort of stuff, it's like, Tyke will go, see, you haven't eaten today, so that's why I drink. And I could have had like 3 drinks.
Oh, and she will be...
And I could be genuinely, you would think I was pissed.
Oh, the Bambi on ice.
Yeah, you would think Bambi I was pissed.
Bambi on ice. And you're kind
of
going...
Purely because of the fact I had no soakage beforhand. So me having 2 or 3 drinks will just send...
Orchard Thieves. That was the quickest I'd ever seen you get like very merry. I was like, my
God. Where
was
that?
Tullamore.
When was that? I can't remember. Oh, was that
Tullamore when we went out with your cousins?
The cousins night out.
You and your other cousin. I'm not going to name her just in case she... she gets upset that I'm calling her out on this. But the two of you hadn't eaten beforehand. Two older cousins.
Yeah.
And the two of you.
And she's
were
tinier than I am.
Pissed like farts.
Yeah. But to be fair, she was on stronger drink than me, though.
Yeah, but it was only a couple of drinks as well. And the two of you. And like, you wouldn't mind, we were out with her other younger cousins as well.
I'm able to handle her drink.
And
I was mortified.
Her all night trying to mammy him.
Oh,
being
my God.
Like, oh, look after us now. Tell me where our text. Like,
all
the night.
Last thing was, I was hammered.
And they were perfect.
They were fully sober. Wasn't a bother on them.
I had a 20-minute conversation where I'm standing in the background going, Chelsea, you've already told them to let you know how they're getting
home. Do you know what it is?
Lads at it.
Do you know what it is?
Let the boys play.
I always find, no matter how drunk I am, first of all, I would never let myself, because I've had I said this on a podcast before, I had a really, really bad experience years ago with drink. And I feel like from that day on, it's really, really turned me off drink. So I know my limit. I know when I should stop. Yes, I will get merry. Yes, I might get drunk, but I won't get stoicish drunk that I won't remember anything. But I feel like regardless of how drunk I am, the mammy is always in me. The mammy nature is always in me, especially if I'm around family. I'm very much like, make sure you get home safe. Text me when you get home safe. Like, I'm very much, or where's this person? Where's that person? Doesn't matter how drunk I am. I'm very much worried about everybody else apart from my own fucking self.
I have a question for you.
What?
Do you ever notice that there's certain characters in your group of friends on a night out?
Oh, yeah.
What characters do you notice?
Well, you have the mammy.
You've got the mammy.
You've got the very like...
Every mammy needs a baby. So there's always the one that ends up needing to be looked after.
Yeah, so there's the one that needs the mammy in.
The one who needs the hair pulled back over a toilet.
Yeah. Then you have the carefree one.
There's the one
does
that...
does not give a shit.
Yeah.
You've got the... the woman that will always make a show of you, that will always cause a scene, that kind of person.
The drama queen.
The drama queen. You'll always have the drama queen.
You've got the pretender.
Yeah.
The one who acts like they're more drunk than they actually are.
I hate those people. If you're one of those people that pretend to be drunk when you're not, stop, because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Stop. I actually cringe when I see people. I'm like, you've probably had about a drink, one single drink. There's no way you're that drunk after one drink.
You've got Houdini.
Oh, yeah. The one that flicks off.
The one who disappears but suddenly reappears at the end of the night.
Yeah. Or you have the one that genuinely just disappears. Just genuinely just like slips off the back and goes home. I'm just going to the toilet and then boom, they're
fucking
gone.
I love doing that.
They're just, they're genuinely just
gone.
After,
there's
like,
nothing stop me.
Disappearing for the whole night, like.
I love nothing more.
But is there like a
than
different...
disappearing early from a night, like half an hour before the end, and just disappearing off and getting a takeaway.
Is
oh,
there,
I love it.
In the last, so like obviously what we just like listed off there would be...
the standard.
No, it would be the standard female groups. Would you have,
I think,
certain of them in the male group?
I think you have the exact same ones.
Would you really?
Yeah. Instead of the mammy, you've got the daddy.
Yeah.
He's the one who looks after everyone. I'm a bit of a daddy from time to time until I disappear at the end.
Yeah.
You've got the one who's too drunk, but generally they're also the crazy wild one. So they're like, they're off doing mad stuff and you're just kind of like trying to shepherd them around the place.
Yeah.
You've got the one that disappears and then reappears at the end of the night, normally with a kebab in hand. That's kind of how it works. Yeah, and you just, there's normally multiple mad bastards.
That's one thing as well I can't do, right? And I know as a lot of teenagers do, is now a lot of people older of all ages do this, but I really find it's like, especially in your teens, it's like, it's just part of the night out. If you don't do it, you didn't go out. When you go for a chipper or something after a night out.
I love it.
I can't, like, unless I'm absolutely starving, I can't eat after a night out.
Or hammered.
I just can't, like.
She has to either be starving or absolutely hammered.
Or pissed. I don't know what it is. I think it's just the fact, like, after a certain part of, even regardless if I'm, even if I'm just at home, I can't eat after a certain time. My body just won't let me eat. My body is just like, you will genuinely, I actually feel nauseous if I eat after like say 10 o'clock 11 o'clock at night. I'm just like, I can't don't even look at me with food.
Anyway, before we finish this section, is there any group of people that we have left out? Have you got any groups or types of characters in your group that you see regularly on a night out? We've had a couple of them there.
What kind of character are you in your group?
What role do you play? Are you the Houdini?
What role do you play? This is after getting very serious. What role do you play?
Wait a minute, who are you?
Can you remember the first time you had a drink?
Oh my God. The first time I had a drink. I don't know if you count it as a drink though, because I feel like you're going like, no, that doesn't count. I feel like the first time I ever...
Were you at mass and the priest gave you body of Christ and you said, thanks, Father.
No,
I have been working out. And then you had the wine.
I think the first time I tasted somewhat like a tiny little smidge of alcohol was my confirmation.
Ooh,
when my mom got, so I would have been what, 12, 13, 12?
12, yeah, around then.
My mom, for the day of my confirmation, for the sake of photos, you know, it was all for the Insta. I didn't even have Instagram back then. But she got like a bottle of Prosecco.
Oh, yeah.
And orange juice. I made like little mimosas. Is that what they're called? But I was only allowed to literally take a sip.
A sip, yeah, that's fair.
I was allowed to. She poured it and let me hold it, but I think I was allowed to have one sip, and that was my first ever just literally taste of alcohol. I think after that, then I was probably 16, maybe.
Fair enough.
I think I feel bad considering you didn't drink till you were like 22.
Well, sorry.
But I don't feel bad. That was your choice.
Let's get into that, because technically, I didn't drink when I became a pioneer until I was 22, but I did drink before that.
What?
So my first drinking experience, I would have been about 7 or 8. I know, started early.
And here's me thinking I was bad for tasting a bit of Prosecco on my confirmation day.
Let me tell you the story, because this is how I ended up being put off drink. So my dad used to be big into bowling, which is an Irish sport. You basically grab a big ball of iron and you absolutely launch it down a road.
I honestly thought he was trying to say bowling, And came out bowling.
Bowling.
And I was like, is he really going to try and explain bowling to people? Go on.
Yeah, but so it's a small, it's, I can't remember how many ounces. Is it 12 or 20 ounces or something like that? It's not major, but you absolutely launch it down the road. Like, it's hilarious. I'll take you to do it some stage if you've never done it.
Okay, no, I've never heard of it.
Right, anyway, Dad was really good at this. Won an All-Ireland 1 year for it and everything. So he was competing in West Cork one day. On a Sunday for it. That was grand. I was only 7 or 8, so we went, watched it, all this stuff. But the tradition afterwards is that you go to the pub and you have a couple of pints, as right. all good sporting
afterwards,
events do.
Okay.
You gamble money on it,
yeah,
that the tax man can't take, and then you go and you spend the money in a pub. That's how it works, right? Standard Sunday in Ireland back in the early 2000s. And anyway, Dad was at the bar and he got himself a pint of Guinness. Happy days.
As you do.
Right? Me being 7/8-year-old, whatever age I was, of course, you idolise your dad. And whatever he's drinking, you've got to drink.
Okay.
So I was like, Daddy, can I have some of that? I want that. And he was like, you won't like it. It's Guinness. You won't like it. I said, Daddy, I love Guinness.
Daddy.
You drink Guinness.
Can I have some Guinness?
I like Guinness. And he was like, trust me, you haven't had it. You won't like it. And I was like, Daddy, I love Guinness. You love Guinness, I love Guinness. And he said, all right, I'll get you a Guinness. So he got me a half pint of Guinness and he said, right, there's your Guinness. But if you're going to tell me you love Guinness, you've got to drink all of it. And I said, no problem, Daddy, I love Guinness. So I went off and had my first little sup of Guinness and I said, that's good Guinness. And then he was like, Grant? So I had my second sup and I said, that's good Guinness. And he was like, that's interesting. And I had a third sip and I said, that's not so great now anymore. And he said, oh, really now? And I said, I don't know if I really like Guinness. And then he was like, well, you're going to have a little other sup. So I had another sup and I said, I don't like Guinness, Dad. And he said, well, you said you love Guinness, so you're going to drink the Guinness. So I had to drink the entire half pint of Guinness. And I would say I was as pissed as a fart leaving.
Oh my God.
And the next day I got sick in school. I was absolutely rode off. Teacher rang home and was like, is everything okay with Tig? He's getting sick. And she was like, oh, I think he has a bit of a stomach bug. I'd say I was hungover like.
Hungover at the age of 7.
So
many people can say that.
And I'm sure, I can't remember, did I have to suffer out all day in school or not? I don't know. Was mam like, oh, he'd be fine?
Do you know what? I hope you were made suffer through
school. Then after that anyway, when I came home, they were like, do you love Guinness still? I was like, no. And then they were like, will you ever have Guinness again? No. And then I didn't learn about another 12, 13 years. Wow. Very effective. Old school parent in there.
Though. He loves it again.
I do dabble in a Guinness here and there.
I dabble in a little bit of Guinness.
I do,
here
but
and there.
I do you know what? I get a lot of fellas given out to me for the amount of gin I drink instead. Like on a night out, I might have a Guinness or two or a Heineken or two. So, yeah, and then I'll go over to my gin and they're like, what are you having? I'm like, I'm having pink gin or maybe a normal gin and elderflower tonic. And they're like, Jesus, man, what's wrong with you?
Gin and elderflower tonic, though, lads, is a...
I'm telling you, lads.
Kiss.
And I don't get anywhere near the hangover I used to get.
Like, a lot of people say, like, they won't drink gin or they can't drink gin because they feel, like, really down in the dumps the next day. I've heard that from so many people. I have never had that experience with gin.
To be fair, I know recently gin has gotten a lot better, but I do remember growing up someone saying that gin was just mascara thinner.
Yeah.
that you'd see a woman at the start of the night drinking gin and by the end of the night
she's bawling.
She's sitting on a stair going, nobody likes my shoes. That's what you'd be getting.
I go the polar opposite. I'm buzzing when I'm drinking
gin. I love a gin. A
but
good
if
gin.
If I'm drinking Orchard Thieves, I'm wiped out.
Yeah.
I am wiped out. The drink hits me. Like the night I was drinking Orchard Thieves, I was pissed. I was pissed after just drinking Orchard Thieves. But when I drink gin, I'm fine. I might be nice and merry, but I am totally fine. I'm great crack.
It's still one of those ones if you're a fella though. Like girls can get away with it, but if you start drinking gin as a fella, everyone just goes, oh. Notions,
yeah.
Especially in Ireland. But I'm gonna keep drinking gin. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't drink that often, so like I'm gonna drink my tonic with it, and just enjoy me night. But what do you guys like to drink on a night out? And
any recommendations?
What are your teenage kicks? What are the things you remember from your teenage years? When did you start drinking? When did you start going out? Tell us, like, what's the average in your area? I'm intrigued to know.
Let us know.
This episode is sponsored by D-Armor Sportswear.
I'm a little bit disappointed.
Why?
That as a Munster man, I have to concede that some of the best sports kit in Ireland is being made in Leinster. Okay.
Suck on them apples.
As I said, D-Armor kit has been growing ridiculously. It's like taking over all of Ireland. Clubs, teams, everywhere looking for D-Armor kit. It's just amazing. It's savage quality.
Oh, it's unreal quality. Like, and before I even knew anything about D-Armor, I never knew anything about jerseys. I never wore them. Had no interest in them. I don't even know anything about sport. Like,
it's very true. She knows nothing.
I know nothing about sport. But when I met Liam and the quality of jerseys that he sent me, I'm obsessed. Like, jerseys is the new fashion.
It's just
and
lovely.
It's not even jerseys, lads. Half zips, jackets, tracksuit bottoms, shorts, the lot. He has got everything.
The D-Armor is not here to take part. They are here to
take over.
So
nice.
If you want to check out D-Armor kit, you've got to go check them out on Instagram or TikTok or their website, d17armor.com. Go look at them because I guarantee you, you will be thinking, can I make my club crest look good in that?
Like, do you know what we should get?
What?
T's and C's jerseys.
Oh my God.
T's and C's jerseys.
Stop it. Oh God. We don't even have a team that we can play with.
We don't even have a team. We're our own team.
What sport could we take? This is for another time.
Forget about that.
Back to the episode.
Let's go.
Right, Chelsea.
No.
It's been almost an entire week of Love Island. Wait, no, that's wrong. It has been an entire week of Love Island.
It has been an entire week.
Jesus, I'm losing track already.
Bruh.
I haven't watched a single episode. I've been doing so many great things. I've actually really enjoyed not watching Love Island. I know that sounds awful.
You had no intentions of watching it anyway.
I had no intentions of watching it anyway. But now what I'm specifically doing is during those hours, I'm off doing something else. So I've gone for a lovely run one day, lovely walk another day. I edited a podcast. I read a book. Went on a night out. It's great. I'm having a great time. How are you getting on with Love Island? It's not some sort of snobbery, by the way. It's just that do you know what I'm doing? I'm giving Chelsea and my younger sister an hour to themselves every day where they don't have to put up with me.
I love how he's making it out like he's doing us a favour.
I make you a cup of tea and I disappear out of your lives.
You don't disappear out of our lives. He's so dramatic.
They forget about me for that entire time.
You're actually so dramatic.
Hold on. Are you telling me that you don't enjoy that?
I just enjoy chilling. I'm sure your sister's the exact same. She enjoys chilling.
I guarantee if you ask
Linda,
I guarantee if you ask Michelle, she'd be like, I'm so glad that he's not here watching this with us. He would ruin it.
Nah.
I would. I'd sit there and just make comments.
Yeah, I know you'd make comments.
It'd be great. Like, it'd be like
hush.
Gogglebox, except it would just be more annoying.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that someday.
But anyway, getting to topic at hand.
Fill us
there's
in.
Been
what's
so
happened?
So much going on, but yet there's been fuck all going on at the same time. All I'm describing to you. One thing I will say, it's awful dry. It's very basic. There's nothing major crazy going on. So obviously since...
Are we enjoying the series or not?
Regardless what's going on, I'm going to enjoy it. Because
okay.
it's Love Island. You know what I mean? But it's not like... I'm not sucked in just yet. Do you know what I mean? I'm not like... Oh, I want... Do you know what I mean? I'm not getting that kind of reaction. But since we last spoke... Liam has left the building.
Liam was one of your early favourites.
Liam was one of my favourites. Reason being is because Liam was a little cutie pie. He was really sweet, you know. He didn't go in... when they do like the interview thing, like when they first start, they all come across as complete arseholes. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And like, don't get me wrong, if some of them kind of stay the arseholes. But sometimes you will misjudge people massively. Like... The year that Maura Higgins went in, I massively misjudged her. I was like, can't stand her. Don't
made
like her attitude.
Made a bad first impression.
It was just the interview. But I also feel like the producers of Love Island want that.
Oh,
they
yeah.
want you to have that perception of everyone going in there. But like after the first two or three days, Maura was in there. I was hooked. I loved her because she brought the entertainment. She brought the drama. So the last time we spoke, basically, it was only like, after
day
the first 3 days.
Day three, okay. We did the late recording after day three.
Okay, so like very little kind of happened. So basically to round up from the first 3 days, we had obviously
We had Gemma was obviously like kissing up to
Davide.
Yes.
Right.
Right. So she was kissing up to him and we were like, will they recouple? Blah, 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 blah. We had the two bombshells. That was Afia and Ekin-Su. Now, I will say this. There's mixed opinions about Ekin-Su.
Ooh.
But I'm all for her. I'm all for her because
which one was she then? Was she the one? I heard some, there was a Turkish one.
That's Ekin-Su.
Okay.
So Ekin-Su, she came in like boom, like she was a bombshell. She came in with the cocky attitude. I'm in here to find love. I'm not in here to make friends. Like she actually said that to the girls.
Oh, unreal.
I'm not in here to make friends. I'm in here to find love, to find a guy I want to be with, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fucking yeah, girl.
Did right.
She did not hold back. When I tell you she came in with fire up her ass, she went straight for Davide. Like within the first couple of hours, she was shoom, straight over to Davide.
Interesting.
Now,
is he the hottest guy? I don't know this.
No, he's not. No, okay. He's not. I will say I love her attitude. I love the fact that she's got so much confidence and she's like, fuck that shit. I'm in it to win it kind of like attitude, right? But I will say this. Ekin-Su, you're trying a little too hard, girl. Okay? So it's a little bit like, how do I say this?
Is she too forward?
She's too forward. Like she came on too hard, too fast. It's like, I'm not being funny. I don't mean to sound like.
Do you feel like she's throwing herself at them?
Yes. In a way. No, hear me out, right? But okay. Right before, like, just let me talk, right?
Right.
I feel like I said, I love her attitude and I love the fact she has so much like kahunas behind her and she's just going for the guys that she likes, right? Because it wasn't just Davide. So the first day it was like Davide, blah, blah, blah. But she was very much open to getting to know the other guys, which, oh, girl, that's what you're there for, right? Now, on the first day that she was there, she was fucking making Davide pancakes and like she very much, I feel like, just put all her eggs in one basket. Like, don't do that on the first day, girl. Like, you're basically showing him, but you're also showing to every other guy that you're just interested in him. Therefore, the guys that are interested in you might not want to put in an effort too much with you or like that.
Okay.
Now, Davide enjoyed it, but he also was kind of like, if you come on too strong, too fast, you're kind of turning me off. It's kind of like,
right.
I'm not being funny, but lads enjoy the chase as well.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just as much as the girls love the chase. So the fact that she was kind of like throwing herself a little bit there, he was kind of like, no, that's a bit boring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I like, regardless what she was doing, she was still very flirty with the other lad. She was very...
See, that could be a tactic then as well that she's doing. She's like, oh, I'll make a big effort day one to Davide so he thinks that he's got me in the bag. And then day two onwards, he's going to see me with every other fella and okay, be like, oh, so maybe I'm not so special.
Interesting that you said this, okay? It's interesting okay. that you just said Ooh, this.
Go on, what happened?
So I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that. So obviously we had Gemma, so when Ekin-Su and that came in, right, before they came in, Gemma and Davide coupled up.
Right.
Right, which meant Liam was single. Now, this is not the reason why Liam left the villa, by the way. I want to make that clear. It's not the reason why he left. He left because, I kind of felt really bad for him, but I also was like, good on you, lad, kind of thing for what he did. So he pulled them all to, like around the campfire and he was like, I need to talk to you all. It was his own decision. He wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And he basically said that before he went in there, he went in with like, I want to give this my all. I want to give you guys 110% Liam kind of attitude. And he said that from the minute he walked in there, he didn't feel like himself. He didn't feel okay in his head.
Yeah,
He wasn't happy in himself.
He felt like he was probably putting on a facade or something.
Yeah, he didn't feel like he was portraying himself at all. So that's why he said, instead of like continuing on with his journey in Love Island, he said he'd leave because he didn't see the point in continuing on when he wasn't happy in himself. And there was rumors going that like his dad noticed like the way he was on TV and they weren't really showing Liam that much either. So I feel like it wasn't just that out of nowhere kind of decision that he decided to do this. I feel like maybe he might have brought it to their attention a little bit earlier on because of the fact I think I seen Liam in the first two episodes. After that, I didn't see him at all, but he was still there. But you just didn't really see him. Like, you seen him at night time when they were all in bed and they'd show Liam in bed. That was it. You wouldn't really see him out and about, like, so it was a bit weird. But I said...
Question for you, because I don't know anything about this. Is Love Island shot, like, a week in advance, or how does it work? Or is it day by day? Are we getting a live kind of thing of
it? Yeah. As far as I know, it's live.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Didn't know.
Now, it could be a day ahead.
Right.
I could be wrong. I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that. I'm not too sure. I don't know. I don't think it's live.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's live. The finals are live.
Okay.
But I don't think the actual show is live. I think they're like a day or two ahead. But anyway, so Liam's gone. Gemma and Davide are coupled up. Now, when the two bombshells come in and stuff like that, and Ek and Sue is like getting to know Davide and everything else, and Afia's kind of like, Afia, you get the idea that maybe Afia's going to go after Ekenna.
Okay.
But again, I liked Afia, but she didn't really put in much of a graft. Afia came across as a girl you'd be palsy with. She was lovely.
Yeah.
Really, really liked her, but it was very much like the lads got on with her more friends rather than romantically.
It was all lads, not date.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. So that kind of, like, Afia didn't really go anywhere. Now, let's move on to a little bit. Ek and Sue ended up, you know, coupling up then. So it was obviously a recoupling then again because Liam had gone.
Yeah.
So Liam had gone. So that meant there was like...
There was two extra girls.
So... one of them had to be at least coupled up. At least one, right? So I came through the recoupling. So the recoupling now is Luca, who was with Paige.
Right.
We love Paige. Paige doesn't seem to be getting a break at all because Luca now has his eyes on Gemma.
Ugh.
Luca.
We didn't like Gemma apparently from the last episode.
We still don't like Gemma. And we're not going to like her even more in a few minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, they had a recouple. I'm trying to just give you summaries here. I don't want to go into too much detail because I'll just bore you. But now, so since then, there was another recoupling. Luca has now coupled up with Gemma.
Ooh.
Now, don't get me wrong. They looked apart. Can't see them lasting. Obviously, they looked apart. It looks a lot better than Davide coupling up with a 19-year-old. Davide is literally like near his 30s.
Yeah.
Gemma's 19.
She's a little bit young for me in this show, I think.
Luca is like 22, 23. So obviously, it doesn't look too bad.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm kind of feeling bad for Luca in a way now because Luca is kind of like doing the same thing as Ek and Sue. He's kind of like really giving his all to Gemma. He's been really sweet. I will say that he's been super nice to her. He's been really cuddly and, you know, making sure she's okay and stuff like that. And she's very much like,
she's giving him nothing back.
She's like, he's cuddling her, but she's just sitting there with her arms folded. Stuff like that. Or last night, I was even saying that's so awkward. I was even saying to her sister, I got so annoyed last night. I was like, oh my God, she made a fucking show of him. He went to give her a kiss and she like turned her head, like completely turned her head. And then he went to give her a cuddle and she was very much like, get off me.
But here's the
full
question,
on, shrugged him off her and walked off.
Computer says nah.
Here's the question though. Like, if you're with someone that you don't want kissing you, do you just accept the kiss or not? Like,
we don't know, right?
See, so on the TV show, I think you're like, he chose to recouple with her.
Yes.
But she didn't choose to recouple with him. So she's a bit like, I don't want to be with you.
No. See, the reason being is because Gemma was telling Luca she wanted to get to know him.
Oh.
Hence why Luca was like, oh, I'm going to pick Gemma then because the feelings are reciprocated.
Yeah.
When she was coupled up with Davide, they were both chatting during the day being like, I like you, you like me, blah, blah, blah,
Let's
blah.
Let's see where this goes.
Let's get to know each other. So obviously he's going to think that she's into him because...
Yeah.
You know, that she was saying, I like you too. I find you attractive. You'd really get on my family. All that sort of crack, like, right? But last night, so there was another bombshell thrown into the mix. By the way, I'd like to say Davide is now coupled up with Ek and Sue.
With all these bombshells, should I put him some like bomb explosions into
this? Nah, I wouldn't bother because they're not big bombshells just yet. They're not. We haven't had the big one. Ek and Sue was a big one, but...
Give us a big bombshell.
This one actually is a good bombshell.
Okay, give me a bombshell and I'm going to add in some green screen bombshell explosions on you.
Before I give you the bombshell... So I told you, obviously, Gemma is now coupled up with Luca. But obviously, now that Gemma's coupled up with Luca, that obviously left Davide single. Davide has now coupled up with Ek and Sue.
Fair enough.
Now, I told you before, Ek and Sue was very full on with Davide at day one. Once they were coupled up, Davide pulled back a little bit. Right? This is where things get very interesting.
Ooh.
So Davide pulled back a little bit. He wasn't really like giving her much of a...
a vibe.
Like, yeah, he wasn't really kind of like entertaining her too much.
So she got bored a little bit, which I can't fucking blame her.
Fair play.
And then the next bombshell walked in, and this was where shit starting to get saucy.
I want stare down that lens and tell us this bombshell.
The bombshell was, are you ready? Gemma's ex. Dun dun dun! It was Gemma's ex.
Okay, can I ask, is he also a child? Because she's like 19. You know what? Is he also 19?
I will say this. He's a bit of an arsehole, but I thought he was an absolute geok the first time I saw him. But now I'm like, do you know what? You're not bad.
He's growing on you.
He's growing on me a little bit because I've obviously seen him chatting to people on a more deeper level. And he's not much of an arsehole as I thought. He's a bit of a cockhead, but he's actually not that bad. Kind of like the way I saw you. I thought you
so
were
what you're
an
saying is
arsehole.
If I was on Love Island, I would not do well on day one. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, probably. You would not do well on day one.
She's
because
good thing that I'm not on the show.
I love you, but I thought you were an arrogant arsehole when I first met you, and I was very open about that.
I'd imagine you're not alone.
So this guy, his name is Jax.
To get used to my humor.
So his name is Jax, and he came in, and it was like, oh my God, that's my ex. And everyone's like freaking out, going, shit, like Gemma's ex is here. And everyone's like, how is she going to react? Like, how do you feel? Blah, 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 blah. Straight, she's like, I don't care. I'm cool. Whatever. Mm. Now, if that was me, don't think I'd like that. But I feel like she's being nearly too fake to be like, you care. First of all, you care that he's there. Second of all, you can see a fucking mile away. There's still feelings there.
From her to him or him to her?
Both.
Oh.
Oh my God. So, right. So, Jax comes in. He then has a date with Ekansu and Afia. Right? Because they have to go on, like, the public can choose
who goes on a date
with the bombshells, okay. Right? So, they had a date. Not really kind of kicked off, to be honest. And he kind of really came across as an absolute dickhead at the dates. Like, he was slouching on the chairs, like, didn't really give much. So, obviously, his first day was getting to know everybody. So, he was obviously chatting to all the girls, right? He got to chatting to all the girls. And then he had the chat with Gemma. And it was very much like, look, it is what it is. It's in the past. I wish you well. He's very much like, I obviously still care about you. But
I'm just on this TV show to find love. You just happen to be nearby.
As long as you're happy, that's all that matters kind of thing. Now, that's the way they're playing it off. And then she was like, she turned around and she was like, you know, you're such a flirt, blah, 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 blah. And then he was like, oh, like, does that mean I get to kind of flirt with you? And then she was like, well, I mean, yeah, but like, don't expect me to flirt back. So she's like, I'm okay with you flirting with me, but I'm not going to flirt back. I'm like, girl, you're coupled up with Luca. What the fuck are you doing, right? As all this is going on, Luca is still being super, super sweet to her and everything else. And she's just not giving
anything back.
No. Like, I'm like, dude, how? Like, first of all, how is she still in there? Second of all, I just don't know what Luca's doing because I'm like, I genuinely feel like Gemma's going to fob him off because she was mad about Davide. Crazy about Davide. And it was like, Davide is not really for me. She went from having a conversation with Davide about having kids and getting married to, oh, it's Luca now. Right?
I don't know what to make of this girl. I've not watched the show, but I feel...
Like we don't like her.
If you matched with Gemma on Tinder, I feel like it'd be the situation where you'd send like a really open, like easy to answer question and she'd give you a one word answer, and you're like... What am I supposed to do with this conversation?
She's got such a blank expression on her face. We just don't like her.
She's plasterboard, right? Is what she is.
Do you know what? Love Island has just become the Gemma show. That's
is it just all about her now?
It's just all about her. Everybody's just attention is on her because no one likes her that much. Anyway, moving on from Gemma because I'm sick of fucking talking about her.
You've got 2 minutes to talk about other people and then we've got to move on to questions.
Right, so we had Danny and Amber. They had their first date. We like Danny. Danny's the Irish guy.
Dammy from Dublin. We love you, Dammy. Let's do it.
Dammy and Amber, they're getting on well. Amber's a bit boring, I'm not going to lie. We like her, but she's a bit...
She's vanilla.
Do you know what I mean? Kenna and India had their first kiss, but we were all happy about, don't get me wrong. Kenna is very closed off. He's very much like, but he made the big mistake of saying to India, was like, I'm gonna basically treat you like, because she asked him, where are we, like, where like, are you interested in me romantically? Because she has spoken to no guys, like,
except him
because she likes him. But she's very much, which I respect, I like India. She's kind of like, look, he's obviously very closed off. I don't want to push him. It's only the first few days. We're just getting to know each other as friends. Which I was like, girl, respect. It's probably the exact same thing I would do. But then he turned around and he was like, and she just asked him, because everybody else has been full on coupled up now and they've, you know, really gotten to know each other and they've had cuddles in bed and they've had kisses and blah, blah, blah. Whereas Akena and India genuinely just look like best friends. So she just turned around and she was like, where
do we stand?
Do you want to get to know me on a romantic level kind of thing? He was like, yeah. But he was like, for now, I'm just going to treat you like one of my boys. She was like,
Oh God, that sounds like a friend zone.
I'm like, I'm not one of your boys. Now,
oh, that's like being said, now, oh, mind, I love you like a brother.
Yeah. Ugh. But since then, since I've had that chat, they've actually had their first kiss. She like made the move and it was just, I had their first kiss and it was nice and it was sweet. And, you know, again, we're still kind of taking it very, so very
she
slow.
Made the first move.
She made the first move.
Interesting.
Davide and Ekansu had their first kiss and it was the most revolting thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, do you know what? It felt like even me and your sister were sitting there and we were like, I really want to look away. But
was it like a walrus like, trying to lick a dishwasher?
But you know what?
Or watch it. Was it like a walrus trying to lick a washing machine?
It was disturbing to watch. It was disturbing to watch, but I genuinely like
couldn't
it
look
was
away.
That intense of a kiss as well that you're like, these two are going to start riding any second. Like, I'm not joking. That's how intense the kiss was. It was like kind of like I want to rip
Europeans,
your clothes off kind of attitude.
The continental,
but it was
telling you.
It was like slobbery. They don't do like the Irish in the UK. Like I could see tonsils. Like, no, we don't need that.
Was it like teenage kicks?
It was just nasty.
Nasty shifting.
Yeah, it was just nasty. Anything else?
Searching for fillings in the back of the teeth. That's what that is.
Tasha and Andrew, really quickly. We like Tasha and Andrew, don't get me wrong, but Tasha's kind of getting on my nerves and so is Andrew. So Andrew, first of all, has just put his foot into it twice already now. Between, what was the first one he said? Oh shit, he said something. Oh, that was it. Luca told, no, he didn't actually. That was actually turned out to be a lie. Andrew told Tasha, I think I told you this.
Yeah, you told all of us.
Didn't I? That he told Andrew that he was a Luca or Tasha wasn't in Luca's top three.
Something like, yeah.
I did tell you this.
Yeah, okay. that was in
well,
last
since
week.
Then, he has put his foot into it again. And when Tasha, when Luca and all that, like all the lads and stuff that were crowded around, seeing Tasha talking to Jax, the new guy, they turned around to Andrew and was kind of like, because obviously Andrew and Tasha have gotten a little bit closer since then. So the boy was like, oh, how do you feel about that? Like, you know, it obviously looks like Jax is interested in Tasha and stuff like that. And he literally turned around and he was like, I don't care. And they were like, what do you mean you don't care? And he was like, I don't care. She can do what she wants. And they were kind of like, but dude, you've literally just like explained to us for the past few days that you're like practically obsessed with this girl. You really, really like her. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you really see this going somewhere. And now you're going to sit there and say you don't care. And they were like, if you genuinely liked the girl, you would care.
Yeah.
You would care if she was off getting to know someone else. So he really put his foot into it. The word got back to Tasha. Tasha wasn't happy. But Tasha's pissing me off a little bit here because she was coupled up with Andrew. She was all lovey-dovey Andrew, Andrew's this, Andrew's that. Then they had like a couple's game night thing. And it was like a game of beer pong. But it was like, if you got one in, it was like a dare. You had to do something. So on the card, it tell you to do something. So Tasha, again, she fucking walked into that too. On her card, it was like, basically like do like a seductive crawl to the person you fancy the most or something like that. And I'm not.
Did
even
she
kidding
please
ya.
Tell me she didn't pick Andrew? Did she pick someone other than Andrew?
Right. I'm not even kidding you. It genuinely looked like she was going to pick Andrew. Like, it genuinely, she was going to pick Andrew. And then she went, vroom. I went up to Luca.
Oh.
We were like, oh, shit.
Did you think she did that just to piss him off?
Possibly. I don't know. Possibly. And then he reciprocated by his dare was like, kiss the girl you like the most.
And he picked someone else.
And he kissed Paige.
Scandalous.
So she got pissed, blah blah blah, and then when she seen that, she was like, oh, this has really made me realize that I really like Andrew, so I'm just gonna stick to getting to know Andrew, blah blah blah. So that was all well and good. We were like, okay, look, sometimes it kind of takes that for you to really know how you feel about someone. Grant. But then this new guy comes in and now she's all about him, and I'm like, and now she's telling Andrew to kind of like slow down, you're moving too fast kind of thing. I'm like, girl, will you make up your mind whether you want to stick with Andrew or you just want to get to know other people that are in there?
Well,
all in all, it's spicy sometimes and it's boring as shit the other times. But that is my Love Island update for today.
As far as Tuesday, anyway.
As far as Tuesday.
So by the time this comes out, there could be a whole pile of other scandals.
Oh God! By the time this comes out, there'll be loads of other scandals.
It'll be Tuesday, Wednesday night.
Loads more next week.
More. Yeah. But anyway, before we finish, I've got my questions, so I'm gonna flick out my notepad. Hoopa!
Go.
Questions. Now, I've not modified them too much compared to last week.
Okay.
Because basically, your opinions might have changed after week one.
All right.
Next week,
my opinions have definitely changed.
Next week, I might have some other questions.
Okay.
So, question one. Who are your early favourites?
India and Dami.
Who gives you the ick the most, boy and girl?
Gemma and Davide still.
Hasn't Fuck. Changed. Who would you personally match with?
Ooh. Interesting. I'm gonna say Luca.
Who do you think I would now match with?
Still Paige.
Me and Paige would hit it off.
Yeah, Paige is so sweet.
I'm not allowed to look this girl up until the end of the show.
She's so sweet.
Okay. Person you think you would be best buds with in the girls?
In the girls? Mm-hmm. Paige.
Ooh, okay.
That's the same as last week as well. I haven't changed.
Person you think is causing the most drama intentionally?
Gemma.
Person you think is the chillest?
Kenna. He is so fucking chill, man. He's nearly too chill, which is probably going to get him in trouble.
And random one at the end. If you were to get stuck on a desert island with one of these contestants, who would you like it to be?
Just one person, or can I pick one from both?
One books? From boy and girl, and you have to give your reasons why.
Paige, because I just really like her energy. She's super bubbly. I really get along with her. And boy, Dami. He's a fucking hero. I think he's absolutely hilarious. I just love him. But I will have to say one thing. I'm not Davide's biggest fan, but something funny, absolutely fucking iconic happened last night. And I feel like it's going to be like one of the big memes from Love Island this year. When when Ekin-Su and Jax were talking last night, Ekin-Su pulled Jax for a chat. Basically told, this is where things are going to get spicy. Oh. Basically told Jax last night that she's no longer interested in Davide.
Oh.
Even though when Jax came in, Davide was very much, I'm going to make breakfast for my babies. You're my girl, I make you breakfast. Made her like a whole soiree of breakfast, like constantly making sure she's okay, kissing her all over like a hot shite, right? Because Jax is kind of like for her. Then Ekin-Su last night told him, now, it looked like a very intense chat as well. So if you've seen it from afar, you would know it was an intense chat.
Yeah.
Ekin-Su basically told Jax last night, he was like, if you had to sleep with, like, get into bed with one of us tonight, who would you pick? And she was like, I would pick you. Even though she was like all over Davide, wanted to couple up with Davide, and now she's all over Jax.
Oh.
Tonight's going to get interesting. But
what's the
Davide
mean?
Ended the fucking, ended the episode last night. Mwah, chef's kiss. He actually got like a white cloth because he knew it was like, I know what this chat is about. I'm not stupid. He got a white cloth, put it over his arm like a waitress. he brought over a bowl of crisps and two champagne flutes of water and went like, you look like you could have this for your date. And he was like, put the chips in front of them and pass them two flutes. And he was like, that is all for tonight. Good night. And walked off. I was like, oh my God.
Love it.
That is the best way to let give him the girl credit. That you're coupled up with know. I know what this chat is about, and I'm here to tell you, I don't give a fuck.
Nice.
I thought that was fucking iconic.
Oh my God.
You know what? You're not that bad at all.
Credit where it's due. That is funny.
It is.
That is funny.
I thought that was just the perfect thing to do.
Oh, that is chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
Oh, beautiful.
So.
That
after
intense.
All that, that was an ordeal.
That was a lot of bombshells.
That was an ordeal and a half. But we are going to round the episode off like we do every single week with our That's a Bop.
Our ass stop.
Ass stop.
Ass stop.
So obviously you've noticed that we've kind of started a little team with our new segment now where the team for this week is obviously Teenage Kicks. So we have said we were going to pick one song that was out in our teenage years. So that has given us a variety of years that we could play around with from the start of your teens to the end of your teens. It does not matter. So do you want to go first this week?
I actually want to check who won last week.
Go on. You won. I guarantee you won.
What was last week?
You win every week. I can't get a break. Like. I genuinely can't get a break.
I actually need to go into our highlights to see who won last week.
Guarantee it's Tyke. Guarantee it's going to ruin my night. You're going to ruin my Tuesday night, man.
What was it again? It was Kanye West.
Yeah.
You had Kanye West.
Yeah.
Oh, because it was about fame.
And you had Millionaire.
And I had Bruno Mars, Billionaire.
Yep.
Mine was 78%. That's a bop. Bad News Chelsea.
Go on.
45%. Yeah. I think that's the first time it's dropped below 50%.
I will say last week's choice of song wasn't great for me. Like, I will say that. But sure, look, it is what it is.
Actually, I lied. That's the second time it's dropped below 50%. Because
right, anyway,
there was another one that you had.
Anyway. Again, look, my kind of taste in music isn't going to be everyone's cup of tea, and that's fine. That's fine. But do you want to go first this week?
No, ladies first.
Cool. So this week I have gone for the year 2009. And the song I have chosen this week is Fire Burning by Sean Kingston.
Ooh.
An oldie, but a goodie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
I've gone for Busted. Year nice. 3000.
Nice.
That's what I'm going for. I feel like that'll do me well.
Yeah.
Because I was going to go, I was going to risk it with the title of
you've gone right back.
No, I was going to go even further back. I was going to go with Teenage Kicks.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the title of this episode. But I was like, no, I'm going to, yeah, that was a bit risky. So I'm going to go.
That sounds a bit risky, pal.
I was going to go with a classic. It's going to be Year
Busted.
3000.
Do you know what? Not a bad song, in fairness. That's yeah. a good, that is a good sound. I think I've yet to disagree with one of your songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm picking.
Like your songs,
I've
good
got
choices.
Good choices for
yeah,
our
do.
Genres. But I think this one will be close. Sean Kingston.
Sean Kingston, Fireburn is a good song. It's a good bop, like. But anyway, make sure to go over to our Instagram and vote on which one you think is a bop and which one you think is an ass stop.
And likewise, go check out our YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, yep. one, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the fireplace chats. But secondly, if you haven't checked out our YouTube, what are you doing?
What
we have other content there now as well.
Also, if you obviously haven't seen our Instagram story, we announced the other day that we officially got the keys to our new house. So renovations and everything else, we'll be starting on that very, very soon.
Yeah, this isn't it. This is us trying to just look aesthetically pleasing for once.
Yep.
Next week, we're in a building site.
Yeah, next week, it's going to be a complete building site because we will be recording in the new house.
We'll probably be sitting on crates with builder hats
on. But we will
be
working. So it's going to be a couple of months of renovations. But we are going to be documenting every single step for you guys over on our YouTube. So go and subscribe right now so you don't miss any of the action.
Check it out, and we will have other content as well. But remember, our main podcast comes out every Thursday morning. Our Patreon is out on a Monday morning, so we got you covered 2 days in a week.
Yo.
Find the link to that in our bio, and you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Podcasts.
I love how he always goes with the hands.
I've made mistakes as I've done it. You can find us on the back of a wrapper that a teenager's left in a field.
Oh,
that's where
God.
You can find us. Okay, we're everywhere. Just go check it out.
That is it from us this week, guys. Make sure to go over to our Instagram and vote.
Send in stories and vote.
Send in your stories. Let us know about your teenage years and the things you got up to.
And if you're following Love Island, do you agree with Chelsea's statements?
Yeah, I
have no idea about any of it.
Go on, have an amazing weekend, and we will chat to you next week.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.